looking at some things in Isaiah, and this sort of amuses me that Jesus, or God, I suppose I should say, is rebuking the Israel through the prophet Isaiah, and talking about their false gods and things of this nature they're worshiping, and how they take a piece of wood and carve an idol out of it, use part of it to cook with, part of it to keep warm with, and then fall down and worship the other part. And God sort of sums it up by saying, there is no other God besides me. I don't know of one. Okay? There's no other name. Amen? But the name of Jesus. Well, let's see what happens this evening. All right? I'm still thrilled at what the Lord did this morning and how people responded so favorably to the Lord. I thought I was going to talk to you about perfected love this morning, but God had a different idea. He just wanted to demonstrate how it's all right with me, you understand. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to be reading this out of the New Living Translation, so it may read a little differently than what you're seeing. But I want to start with verse 7 of 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God, knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us His Spirit. I want you to note this as proof that we live in Him, and He in us. Now, for no other reason, that should be an incentive to desire the Holy Spirit, because it's God's proof that He lives in us and we in Him. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Now we're talking about perfected love, okay? So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus lives here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced His perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And He has given this command: those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. You know, this morning, as I was getting ready, I just heard these two words, perfected love. And just thinking about that, as far as the scripture goes, and of course, it led me to this fourth chapter of 1 John. And I think that one of the biggest problems in the world is really not knowing the love that Father God has for us. And consequently, people are afraid to step out in a lot of cases. Fear of failure, fear of what God's going to think if they don't do everything right, or just afraid of trying at all because they do not understand the love of God. That love's not perfected. And so how do you get love perfected? Living in God, God living in you. And how is that achieved? There's more to it than just being born again. I mean, obviously that is the start of it. But you can be born again and not fully comprehend the love that God has for you. You understand that God's made provision for you to live with Him eternally, but not really grasp the magnitude of what that means. That God loves us so much that He wants us in His presence, and He wants to be in our presence. Pretty profound, if you think about it. Your Creator loves what He created. And the Creator loves what He created so much, He wants the creation to hang out with Him. He wants the creation to know the expression of God's love. Now, God's love is expressed in various ways, but the major way we just read in 1 John 4, the major way that God has expressed His love is to humanity is by giving His Son. Would you agree that that would be motivated by love? Okay? To love you so much that He would give His Son as a sacrifice for sin. In other words, what you deserve, He puts on His Son. And that's exactly what God did. God did not give me what I deserve. God does not give you what you deserve. God can't overlook sin. He has to deal with the sin. But instead of dealing with us, He dealt with the sin through Jesus as the atoning sacrifice. Now that's love personified, any way you want to look at it. But if I don't study the Word of God, and if I don't spend time with the Lord, I can never appreciate the love that God has for me. And I think that's where many people are today, is they do not appreciate or understand, not that we can just fully comprehend, don't misunderstand, the love of God, that God loves me. Now here's the thing about it. Who knows you better than God? Nobody. God knows you better than you know you. And yet God has chosen to love you on purpose, just because He wants to. Now, He wants us to make that same choice, to choose to love Him because we want to. Thank God for what He's done for me. You understand? I thank God for the benefits that come with being in the family of God. But the greatness of this is to know that God loves me. Consequently, I want to reciprocate that back to God. But how can I reciprocate love to God when I'm not perfected in love? That I really don't have the knowledge of the love of God. See, so many people, and I'm talking about church people, live in fear, hoping they're good enough. You're not. Never will be. But Jesus is. Okay? Knowing that what God's plan is not based on our goodness, but what God's plan was from the very beginning is based on the goodness of God. The Lamb slain before the earth was ever founded. God had all this in place. And He wants us to understand His love for us so we don't live in fear. Now, how many Christians live in fear? It's really amazing to me how many have actually vocalized the fact, I'm afraid to die. And I say, why? Well, I'm not sure what's going to happen after I die. And you have the Holy Spirit. You have God living in you. But you're not confident in God. How confident are you in the love of God that you know you are loved unconditionally? And really, the requirement for enjoying and embracing this love is just simply believing it. That's why we're called believers. God says it, we believe it, and we believe it so much, we act like it. And people misunderstand that. You know, they can think you're egotistical when you say, God loves me. But you'd better get a revelation of that to where you can confidently say to yourself or out loud talking to God, and I do this, I mean, it's a way of life to me. Father, I thank you that you love me. Because if you didn't love me, I would not have the capacity to love you. But because you love me, you didn't stop there, but you shed your love abroad in my heart. Romans 5:5, by the Holy Spirit. So not only do you love me, but you give me the capacity to love you back. Now, the interesting thing about loving God is it's often demonstrated by loving people. We love God by loving people God loves. God has to express Himself. He must have a means of expressing Himself in earth. And there's too many people that don't even know that God knows their name, that God would even think about them, give them a second thought. And yet God move upon your heart to just speak into that person's life, to love that person, God loving that person through you. But if love's not perfected in you, then you can't share a perfected love. And fear will dominate a person's life that's not perfected in love. Now, actually, if you keep this in context, here's what he's saying. When you know that you live in God, and God lives in you, you never have to be concerned about facing God. You don't have to be afraid to face God because perfect love casts out the fear. I'm not afraid of meeting my Maker. I couldn't always say that. Matter of fact, I was very fearful of that. Because of a natural mindset, because of religious programming, thinking that God's acceptance of me would be based on my performance. But thank God, His acceptance of us is based on Jesus' performance. And He did all things well. You understand? So we have to believe in that. Now, if I truly love God, then I'd want to spend time with God, right? And the more time I spend with God, the more I experience the love of God. You with me? And this is how love is perfected. The only way that you can perfect love is by spending time with God. Or I could say, by spending time with love. God is love. Isn't that what he said? I'm just saying what John said, what he wrote, what we just read. So if I want love perfected in my life, then I have to spend time with love, with God. And how do I do that? Anyone ever seen God? No. But I have His Word. And I have His Spirit. So the more I spend time in the Word, the more I know about the love of God. The more I listen to the Spirit of God, the more I commune with God, the better understanding I have of the love of God. And God's love, not just for me, but God's love for others. You know, I'll just be very transparent with you. There was a time, you know, when I first entered into the ministry, that when we would pray for people, you get in front of certain people and the thought comes, well, I don't know if God wants to minister to this person or not. I know, all use of self-righteous, that's never happened, right? Okay. But that, you know, I've had people to come up, you know, like they want me to pray for their healing, and I thought, I don't know if they're living good enough to get healed. You know, that's a religious mindset. And healing is not based on performance, it's based on your believing, your faith. You understand, all the people Jesus healed were sinners. A lot of people don't have that revelation. So it couldn't have been based on their performance. It wasn't even based on their need. It was based on their faith. Their need motivated them to go to one in whom they believed could do something about their need. And because they believed in Him, they experienced God's love through the manifestation of His power being released into their life. How many times have we experienced the love of God through the manifestation of His power being released in our lives? When you were saved, God expressed His love. When you were filled with the Holy Spirit, God expressed His love. When you're healed or set free from various things, God is expressing His love to us. And the more of God we see, the more aware of God we become, and we understand more that God loved the world. God loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved the world. Now, He didn't love the sin, but He loved the world. We're not to love the sin, but we're to have enough of the love of God in us that we reach out to the world so that people have the opportunity to receive Jesus just like we had the opportunity to receive Him. That should motivate us. God loves me, I want to express His love. Well, how do I express His love? Love His people. And you can express your love to God just by spending time with God. But it's not just spending time with God. I could just hang out with God and hang out with God and hang out with God and never do nothing. Just hang out. But I can tell you this, if you hang out with God, you don't go do something, you're going to be disobedient. Because you're not going to spend time with Him without getting some instruction. Him just sharing His heart. You understand? It's like with Isaiah, you know, he has an encounter with God. And then he sees his inadequacies. And is really fearful until the angel takes the coal and purges him, if you will. Makes him clean. And then God says, who can I send? In other words, I have a need. You know that God has needs? I have a need for somebody to go and speak to this nation. Who can I send? God still has that need today, and God's still saying the same thing today. Jesus said it this way. You say it's 4 months until the harvest. I'm telling you to lift up your eyes. The fields are white and ready to harvest. The problem is not waiting for the harvest. The problem is God doesn't have laborers. Now, why doesn't God have laborers to go in the field? Because love's not perfected in people's lives to the point that they love God more than they love themselves. Who do I love the most? It's really not all that difficult to evaluate. How much time do you give to yourself versus how much time do you give to God? And when I say how much time do you give to God, I'm talking about not just reading and talking to God. I'm also talking about ministering to other people, meeting needs of other people. So that's one of the great ways of demonstrating the love of God is you see people in need, you meet the need. Well, how many times have people said, I don't have time? I would like to, but I don't have time. Just this week, I was thinking about the man, the Jewish man that was robbed and left for dead, half dead. The priest sees the man laying there in his dire situation, but he doesn't want to get involved with that. I'm not going to get my hands dirty with all that. And then there was, that's your senior minister, you understand. And then there's the Levite. This is just church member. He goes by, he goes over where he is. The senior minister wouldn't even do that. The priest wouldn't even go over there. But this guy goes over there and he looks at him, but then he walks on away from him. Passes him by, doesn't meet his need. But the interesting thing about it is the Samaritan, whom the Jews hated, looks at this Jew and he doesn't see a Jew. He sees a man in need. And he's moved with compassion to meet that need. You understand? It's love that does that. Love moves you toward people. Not only does he immediately minister to the man, but he takes the man to an inn to where he can recuperate, and then he has to leave, so he just tells the innkeeper, look, I'm going to leave this guy with you, and if there's any debt incurred, just put that on my account. When I come back through, I'll pay for it. Is that love? When you do that for somebody you don't even know, and for somebody that by race hates you, and yet you love them. By this you'll know that God's love's perfected in you. When you look beyond the exteriors, then you see that that's a person that God loves, and God wants to minister to them, and God needs somebody. And that somebody is you. It's me. God needs us to reach out to that person. And it can be done in so many ways. Listen, God's love is not just expressed through preaching the gospel. That is a great way. And there's a time for it. But God's love is expressed in meeting people's needs, going where people are, binding up some wounds. You understand? There's a lot of people out here in life that's been robbed and been beaten up and left half dead. And we have something to give them. The love of God. Not just preaching to them, not just teaching them, but demonstrating the love of God. Let me help you. How can I help you? Bind up the wounds. And if you can meet a need, meet a need. It seems like we get in the ditch on one side or the other side. Some just want to, I'll pray, want to meet the need, but I'll pray for you. Some just want to say, well, we'll feed you and give you some money, and then that's it. But true love is going to want to minister to the whole person. You understand? We need to minister to the total man, spirit, soul, and body. Not just feeding them and letting them die without God. Or not just preaching to them and then die of hunger. But perfected love. See, that's what God demonstrates toward us. I think every one of us in here could testify to the fact that God has demonstrated His love to you spiritually, and that you're born again. But God's also demonstrated His love to you in meeting your needs, whether it's been monetarily or whether it's been physical, mental, wisdom, understanding. See, God doesn't withhold in any capacity. God wants to express His love in all areas of our life. But He wants us to be so aware of how He operates and so familiar with Him that we do the same thing. That we become perfected in love. To where we're not afraid to help people. People say, well, they may take advantage of me. Listen, if you minister to people, you're going to get taken advantage of. Suck it up. And go ahead and tell yourself, no, they can't take advantage of me because I'm doing it because I want to. They may think they are. But I'm not blind. You understand, Jesus didn't go to the cross blind. He knew exactly what He was doing. The suffering and all the agony that He went through, He knew what He was doing. And He knew that the people He was doing it for would spit in His face, slap Him, or crucify Him. He knew that. But it didn't stop Him from demonstrating to the world the love of God. That's perfected love. Now we can evaluate where we are. And I'm not telling you to get a persecution complex either. You know, just bring it on. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that let's get so familiar with God that we begin understanding how the love of God operates, not only to us, but how the love of God is to operate through us. Perfected love. And it removes the fear. It removes the fear. And one of the biggest, hindrances, I suppose, to people really stepping out in ministry is fear. And what casts out fear? Perfected love. When we get matured into the love of God, we're mature enough that we're not afraid. You think of small kids, and they go through periods of time that whatever happens in the night, they get afraid and, you know, come into the room and want to sleep with you. I remember our son, you know, I don't know what all the setting was, but he like the scared the sock off me. I'm laying in there asleep, and all of a sudden, I know somebody's in the room looking at me. I know it. See, your spirit never sleeps. And I'm trying to process this as how I can handle this. Oh, and all of a sudden, it says, "Daddy, can I sleep in here?" I said, "Sure, what's wrong?" He said, "I don't know." He probably watched something he shouldn't have watched and got scared or whatever. But what do? Rebuke them for watching the wrong stuff? Or do you say, "No, we found out that bed will sleep four." You understand? Now you think about this. That's the love that you're expressing toward natural children, because you want to bring a protection, you want to bring a peace, you want to bring a comfort to them, to where they walk in there, they're safe. Isn't it amazing how the problems go away when they can get in your presence? No fear. How much more is it that way with God? When we walk into the presence of God, the fear leaves. The fear leaves. What can man do to you? The Lord's my refuge. The Lord's my strong power. I run into Him. Into Him. I hide in Him. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You with me? And when you're in that place, fear has no place in you. Why? Because love's perfected in you. You're conscious of the love of God. And this is a problem in the church society. People are not conscious of the love of God. We sort of say it with tongue in cheek, you know. If I were to ask you, "Does God love me?" Well, yeah, I guess so. No, that's not what I mean. Does God love you? Let's not talk about the world. Let's talk about you. Does God know you by name? Does God know where you live? Does God stay with you all day long? How well do you know God? He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. What am I in that He's not there with me? I think of the Hebrew children, and this is really somewhat amazing. You know, He didn't save them from going into the fiery furnace because they stood up for God and refused to bow to an idol. But He let them be cast into the furnace, but He was in there with them. What's He doing? In the furnace, He's protecting them. In the furnace, He's keeping them from burning. They don't even come out with the smell of smoke on them, because God's with them, bringing about a deliverance. And it's just a fact of knowing that whatever you're going through, God's going through it with you. He hasn't abandoned you. But what's the first thing we think of when things go awry? "Oh, God's forsaken me." No, He's not forsaken you. He's experiencing what you're experiencing. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You understand? He's for us. He's not out to destroy us. He's out to deliver us. And when you know that about your father, you won't be afraid of your father. But how many children are afraid of their father? They may get abused. They don't want to be in the presence of the father. And see, religion has put that mindset into the hearts of many people. They're afraid to get into the presence of the Father because they think Father God's an abusive God. They're not perfected in love. They do not know the God of love. Love does not beat you up. Love does not abuse you. Love does not take advantage of you. Love is always reaching out to help you. God wants us perfected in that. Number one, to know that's what He's doing toward us. And then get to the point to where we're mature enough that we allow Him to do that through us so He could demonstrate to other people the love of God. So, are you aware of that love that God has for you? Are you perfected in that? And that just simply means, when you look at that word, it just simply means mature. Are you mature enough to know that God loves you without having to tell you all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. See, people in the society today are looking for so much affirmation. Do you love me? And I'll tell you what Jesus would say about that. You keep my commandments. Show me. You love me? Show me. It's easy to say I love you. Show me. Demonstrate. So God demonstrates. You know, I would think by now, sure, though I love her. But, you know, I don't call her up every hour and tell her. I told her one time. No, I told her more than that. Do you understand where I'm coming from? And so we should, as we mature in the Lord, we should not always be looking for the Lord to just constantly be saying and saying and saying, I love you, I love you. We should know that and be so appreciative of that that we're mature enough in it that rather than looking for an affirmation, we just demonstrate the love God has for us by loving other people for God. Now we're mature when we can do that. That's not that God will never tell you, I love you. But you know, I think about my own experience, you know, just coming out of the world, getting into church, and then getting into the things of God, a hunger and desire for God, and how at the beginning, God would speak to me through various people. I mean, if a guest minister would come through, he'd call me out and speak into my life. Well, do you know that just seldom happens anymore? But I believe God loves me more now than I ever have. You understand, you start realizing the love of God, and you don't need a word all day long. You don't need a word coming all the time. I have a word here that I can bring to my mind anytime I want to. He loves me. He gave Himself for me. He wants me to live with Him forever. That's how much He loves. He loves me so much that He wants me in His family. Now that's love. You understand? When you just take an outsider into your family, you must love them. And that's exactly what God's done. And He wants us perfected in that. To where we have enough knowledge of the Word of God and we have enough sensitivity to the Spirit of God that we do not question the love of God. Never. Never. I know it. God loves me. I know I love God. And God knows I love Him. You with me? This is a kind of relationship that bears fruit, that lasts for eternity, to where we become true ministers of the Lord because we've been truly ministered to. We're aware of it. So many people aren't aware of God. What did Jacob say? Surely the Lord was in this place and I didn't know it. This is the house of God. Here I've spent the night here and I didn't even know I was here in the presence of God until he had the dream. When he awoke from the dream, he had a revelation, didn't he? God wants us to get a revelation. He lives in us. Live in him. Now, this means that God stays in me and he wants me to stay in him. Dwell there. Permanent residence. God in us, we're in God. That's how love is perfected, by staying in him and becoming more and more knowledgeable of him. And you'll find that you start maturing in the love of God. Incidentally, that is fruit. Love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's how it starts. And I think the other fruit really are codependent upon it, if you will. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That fruit of the Spirit. But it's love. Paul said in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, now abides faith, hope, love. But the greatest, isn't it interesting that it's not faith? The greatest of these is love. Now, why would he say that? Faith works by love. My love for God motivates my faith in God. Think about that. Okay? So, what is perfected love? Hanging out with God so much that you learn what God thinks about you. You learn the ways of God, the will of God, and you go out and demonstrate the love of God. Now we have perfected love, and you don't have to worry about being fearful of what's to come in a life hereafter. As a matter of fact, there's an anticipation. Paul said, I have a desire. I'm in between a rock and a hard spot. Is that the way your translation reads? I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to go on and be with the Lord, which is far better. You know what he said? He knows the love of God. But he also knows the love of God this way. But it's more needful for you for me to remain. In other words, that's my desire, but God loves you so much, he wants me to stay here and pour into you. That's what he's actually saying. Love perfected. God wants that love perfected in us. Amen? You get that? Good. That's the message. Amen?